You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Happy Monday to you. It is a Gym Class taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here from our studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Great to have you with us here on a chilly Monday afternoon, but it's sunny Monday afternoon here in eastern Iowa. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, across the table. Isaac Elzinga on the other side of the glass once again on a Monday. Although I haven't seen Isaac in person for a while, so we reacquainted with one another before we got going here. We got a great show coming up for you. Cal Eldred's going to stop by. We know it's not a Tuesday, but Cubs baseball on Wednesday is pushing us off that day. So that was going to be originally Caddy Smack Day, our inaugural edition of Caddy Smack for the year. That had to be moved to Tuesday, so we had to move Cal to Monday. It's a whole thing, but Cal is today. We will talk Major League Baseball, the first couple of weeks of the season with Cal Eldred coming up, and looking forward to doing that. Text line available to you all the time, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well if you'd like to pick up the phone and call us. Also, 319-366-1600 here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM down in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And good weekend for you.
Excellent weekend, Scott. Hope you did too. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And certainly an eventful weekend. And I think another one ahead, starting with tonight and ending next Sunday.
We hope next Sunday with the Masters. Inclement weather today, and I feel for the – we know one individual that had tickets for today's practice round, and you have your day. And if God intervenes or Mother Nature intervenes or whomever intervenes and washes out your day, well – you don't get it back.
You get a rain check, which you can use a year from now.
Doesn't help you right now.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't help you with a lot of costs and getting there and et cetera, et cetera. But they did not have the patrons on the grounds very long at Augusta today. Some thunderstorms still moving through, a very, very slow-moving cold front from what we understand, and a lot of rain in Augusta, so that's going to soften up the course. There is good drainage there, but can't wait. The annual tradition, unlike any other, the Masters getting started in Augusta on Thursday. Can't wait. That is that the – I know we talk about baseball opening day, official, unofficial opening of spring. Maybe that is the case, but this definitely puts – the cherry on top of the sundae.
I think for you and I don't know how many people out there feel the same way, but it certainly triggers spring to me from a sports standpoint. And you got the conclusion of the basketball and wrestling seasons, and then start of Major League Baseball and the Masters. That's spring to me.
Does it get you excited for spring, Isaac?
Yeah, certainly.
Okay, and you're not a big golfer.
No, I know little to nothing. So I'm always open to learn, though. I love to learn. I always say that. I will say people in Detroit probably disagree with you as far as the start of spring right now, considering it is snowing.
Yeah, you're watching the Tigers and the Yankees open things up at Comerica Park. I believe it's not the home opener, but at any rate, it was going to be a night game pushed to the afternoon because it's going to really snow tonight in the Motor City. And it's snowing right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just supposed to be really cold, so they moved it to the day. It's snowing now.
Oh, it's balmy now.
Yeah, I'm sure they're real comfortable right now. I do know they have, like, heated seats back behind home plate now over there.
Good idea.
Yeah.
And Matt in Fairfax, yes, tomorrow night, our own Cedar Rapids Colonels open at home at Veterans Memorial Stadium. And weather is looking better for tomorrow than it would be today. And Matt has not missed an opening night in 10 years. So have fun out there tomorrow and hope it is a big crowd out at the Vet for the Colonels home opener. I don't even know. Who are they playing for the home opener? Beloit. Okay.
You can hear that on the scoreboard.
All right. I didn't want to take too much away from that. 319-366-1600. Sports weekend. You've got a women's basketball champion that the king is back, or the queen is back, for the Connecticut Huskies as they win yet another women's NCAA Division I college basketball national championship. You've got the two semifinal games, which were amazing, absolutely amazing in men's basketball, and maybe overlooked, certainly should not be overlooked. We have a brand new scoring champion in one of the four major sports. Yesterday, early afternoon, Alex Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals with a power play goal against the New York Islanders and a fellow countryman, which he had fun with in his speech. They stopped the game, had Wayne Gretzky come down. He was in attendance for that particular match. And Alex Ovechkin is now the all-time goal scorer in National Hockey League history. So congratulations to Ovi.
Yeah, momentous moment in hockey, no question about it. It was the same number of games as Gretzky or close to it. I think right in there.
It was the same. I think it was exactly the same.
Exactly
number.
Exactly the same. That's quite remarkable in and of itself. Gretzky will still be Gretzky in my mind.
He's still the great one.
I'm not a big hockey fan. The Great Eight's pretty good too.
Not bad.
But, Ovechkin. I the thing I like the best is that the previous game he didn't want to go back on the ice and score an empty net goal.
Yeah.
And I thought that was upstanding, should I say? Yeah, I thought that was really good. But was that once thought an unbreakable record?
Yes. I think that was at one time, both times. I mean, when Wayne Gretzky came on and broke the previous record, I mean, that lasted decades, three decades, I believe. And then now this one's lasted 31 years, I want to say it was, something like that.
99, I think.
Yeah, and never thought you would see somebody come along and break Wayne Gretzky's record. And somebody will come along and break Alex Ovechkin's record eventually. We don't know who that is. May not even be born yet, but somebody is going to come along and do it. That's what makes sports fun, I guess.
Yeah.
Makes it interesting, as was Saturday. 319-366-1600. The men's Final Four was tremendous. I think it made up for the three lousy games that the women had. It's just the way it goes. I mean, we've had great women's basketball Final Fours over the years, including, you know, Caitlin Clark in the last couple of years. But unfortunately for the women, they had three blowouts, two on Friday and one on Sunday. The UConn Huskies go back to the top as far as women's college basketball is concerned. Paige Beckers gets her championship. Chino Auriemma has a chance to get another one and then complain about everything in the world of women's college basketball. He's kind of a happy, grumpy guy, don't you believe?
I love Chino Auriemma. I mean, he's got the stage. And
he's going to say whatever's on his mind.
And so would Dawn Staley.
Absolutely.
And so would Kim Mulkey. I mean, does anybody consider him one of the great coaches of all time? If not, you should. 12 national titles.
Men's and women's.
Four different decades.
Keep in mind, he has been offered not only the Connecticut men's job, but other men's basketball jobs, or at least have been approached by many institutions. But he has remained loyal to UConn and the women's program.
And they're going to be good again next year. AZ Fudd is back. Strong is back. And I would submit that UConn would have won that game yesterday without Paige Beckers. It's a great thing that Beckers got a championship after all she's been through with her injuries and whatnot. But it's a heck of a team, and it's been a great team for a long, long time. And maybe this is the start of a new one, and that's nothing against South Carolina. Staley has done a terrific job the last 3-4 years, and even before that, but especially the last 3 or 4 years. Oriana is, yeah. And now he wins when the depth of the field is stronger. We know many years when he won, it was chalk. You know, pencil in Connecticut, you're good. But not so much this year. They were the number two seed.
They were about, yeah, in the past, there were, what, 5 or 6 teams that could win the national championship. That all changed in women's basketball over the last decade. I mean, you could go to, I'd say, 16 to 20 teams that could win the national championship on in a given year. And look at Iowa. Very mm-hmm. good example. Obviously, number 22 had a lot to do with it. But Kate Martin was pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. Others were pretty darn good for the Hawkeyes to help get them to back-to-back mm-hmm. Final Fours and national championship appearances. But it's a whole new ball game, and there's Gino Auriemma still doing what he does best and coaching well and winning national championships. And they ran roughshod through that field, and they did not have an easy path to the national championship.
Not at all.
USC, UCLA, South Carolina, and nobody really took them down to the wire. That tells you how good they were playing.
Very impressive. And the sustained excellence is what's remarkable to me.
JW says Juju's injury helped UConn. Well, I'm sure it did, but I don't think USC would have beat him even with Juju Watkins.
Yeah, we'll never
we'll
know.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
We'll never know, but I think UConn was playing that well right now. And they had their own injuries at the beginning of the year and got people back, got some more playing time for others in, you know, not starring roles, and it all came together for the UConn women. Gretzky still has about 1,200 more points than Ovi, though. Mm-hmm. Yes, Cyclone mm-hmm. Tim, that is correct. When you look at the assists and everything going on with Alex Ovechkin versus Wayne Gretzky, he's still the great one. 319-366-1600. Then you got the men's games on Saturday. Had a wonderful offensive game in that first battle as Florida got the victory over Auburn and took down the overall number one seed, broke Charles Barkley's heart, et cetera, et cetera. That thing was not for the faint of heart. Man alive, if you took it to the basket, you were going to get hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't going to be called. Fun game. And then you had almost the polar opposite game, which makes basketball still, even though five guys sit outside the three-point arc and get pick and rolls and shoot threes or drive it to the basket, is still a fun sport and a diverse sport as far as the way you can have a high-scoring game or a low-scoring game. I still don't know for the life of me how the Houston Cougars won that game on Saturday night. I still don't know. And I'm not a Duke fan. I can't figure it out.
It's something you're not going to see every day. I don't know what the odds were. Maybe there were odds sports books when Houston had a 9-point lead or had a 14-point lead with X number of minutes left on the clock. I don't know. But I'm with you. Duke fans cannot blame anybody but
Duke.
That team, Duke. They can't blame Courtney Green. I mean, who has endeared himself to some Iowa fans, I know.
Fran won't see him in the Ivy League.
Did he make a poor call or not? There were worse calls made over the weekend, in my mind. You can't blame it on Courtney Green. You got to give all kinds of credit to Houston. And I think one thing that came out of this, Scott, was that those proponents of, and at one time I was one of them, the proponents of being able to call a timeout and advance the ball to half court, This is an argument against it because Houston never would have won that game if Duke had had the ability to call timeout and advance the ball to half court. Much easier to get the ball in at half court than it is the end line. And Houston executed the press. Duke did not. And then plain and simple, what an unlikely victory. And I'm against advancing the ball to half court.
I am now, too.
Just because of this reason.
Yeah, it gave Houston an opportunity. And talking with a former coach today, a couple of them, as a matter of fact, that it's what has happened. What has happened to the ability to get the ball in bounds? Now, granted, with the lax holding, grabbing calls in college basketball now, and in basketball period now, you in our day, okay, three guys, you set a pick for one another, you get open. Now it's just trying to get open one-on-one. Duke couldn't get the ball in. Couldn't get the ball in. And then defensively, Kelvin Sampson made a great move by not fouling when they were down six.
Mm-hmm.
Got a stop. Went down. Got a three. Got a block. Went down. Missed a shot. Nobody from Duke blocked out. So they got the slam dunk put back. It's down to one. And then you miss a one-and-one, and you get a foul call.
The most effective inbounds play in that situation, to me, that I've seen is everybody starts out of bounds and then just goes wherever rather than set up at the free throw line and try to set a pick for one another and whatnot. Everybody starts out of bounds and they just go and, you know, might come back to the ball. Whatever. That's the most effective inbounds strategy in that situation that I've seen anyway.
Cage and Troy is hoping Houston wins tonight for many, many, many reasons. It says UConn was picked to win it all, but they were a number two seed. They were a number two seed. Yeah, yes, Kimball made that call in that game.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Courtney was in the first, but he's in the national semifinals. Yeah. You can't get on Courtney Green all the time for that. But was it a foul on Cooper Flagg going over the back on a rebound? Maybe in the old days, absolutely it was because he displaced a guy. I don't know what a foul is anymore or what a foul is not or what a non-call should be after watching basketball as many times as I have this year. But it was a foul. They called it. And a guy that shoots 61% from the free throw line went down to the other end and made two, while a guy that shoots 70% didn't make one for Duke. And watching his eyes before he towed the line, I knew. I said, he's not going to make this.
No.
This one and one is not going to go in. Holding Duke to one field goal in the last 10-plus minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Houston just turned it on. And as Cyclone Tim said, Houston had several hard-fought close games in the Big 12 this year. Duke had hardly a game in the ACC where they were challenged, and it showed up big at the end. And I think Cyclone Tim is right on that.
How will that translate tonight? I mean, Florida is really big. Walter Clayton Jr. is terrific. And Florida's defense shut down Jani Broom in the second half. So their defense isn't bad either. You know, how is this? Did Houston spend itself in the semifinals? I don't think so. These kids have bounced back pretty quickly. It's a really interesting matchup tonight. Florida favored by a point and a half.
I think it's going to be a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a fantastic ball game. You could be Mr. Obvious here and say that the higher the score, the more it favors Florida, and the lower score favors Houston. And I would agree with that. But Houston's not bad offensively this year. They can shoot beyond the three-point arc much better than they have in the past. And Golden versus Sampson, going to be a good coaching matchup right there. Todd Golden is one of the bright young minds in college basketball.
Neither is squeaky clean.
Well, neither. No. No, they are not. Kelvin Sampson, though, most of the stuff that he did back in the day is permissible now. 319-366-1600.
The speed limit was 55 at one time, too.
Yeah. Rod says that game reminded me of the game that Iowa pulled down out against Michigan State.
Yeah.
The Peyton Sanford game a couple years ago. It's not basketball, says 6881. It's now basket mall. And I agree. And I'm going to talk with Kevin Lehman about this on Thursday when we talk with him one last time. Is it time? And I said to you this week, is it time we got to start in college basketball to clean this game up a little bit? It is just so physical, and it can be physical, but the grabbing, the pushing, the pulling, and I think something's got to be done. Like you said, you don't want to have a foul every 10 seconds, but if you just get across the point in the offseason, listen, point of emphasis this year is going to be cleaning up physicality. Quit grabbing people. I think it would help.
It has been become very physical, and I don't know how anyone can expect three officials to watch 10 guys on the floor and make good calls every single time. I don't know how you tone it down. These guys are big, strong, fast, athletic. I'm not sure how you do that, Scott. I really don't. And you don't want to call every little thing, ticky-tack, fouls. So I don't know.
There used to be displacement. Or gaining an advantage is a foul. Now it's like holding in football, ladies and gentlemen. It becomes a free throw contest, says Cyclone Tim. And if LJ Cryer hits the shots, they're going to be tough to beat. Before we get to an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update here, we bring in Cajun Troy on a Monday. How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting close to retirement, so life is good.
We're all one day closer.
Yes, we are. Hey, I love your conversations today. I mean, especially with the inbound pass. I don't watch a full college basketball game because it drives me crazy. And I was like, where is the pick? How do you get the ball in? It is the worst. I just can't.
Or send somebody deep once.
No, exactly. Or just send a pick and send someone. Yeah, I'm watching this, and I was like, oh, this is so painful. And then also the end of that Auburn game. I mean, like, if everything was a darn jump ball. It's like he had his arm. He had, So maybe they told him at the end of the game, don't call fouls over this or that, whatever. So, but, yeah, it was – so normally this is how I watch college basketball. I turn it on, and then I watch something else, and I check my phone to see if it's close enough for me to watch it. And Duke at the end of that game, because I watched it again last night on CBS Sports, and someone brought this point up on one of those talk shows. It's like, you could tell how young they were, because Houston got a lot of players who came back. And, when he was driving, losing the ball off their foot, and just really, it was just like there was too much one-on-one on the game at the end. And I was just like, wow, I've never seen Duke play like that, So
good
that
point.
Was interesting. So, yeah. So, and another thing, I was picking Florida before I did my pool sheet. So I got to the end, and I was like, you know what? Defense wins championship. So I'm going to go with Houston against Florida. So that's how I'm going to watch that game tonight. I'm going to probably replay it later on in the week. Turn it off and on or whatever. But it should be a great game tonight. So I would be happy either one of them win. And so it should be, I hope it's a great game.
I think it's going to be a great one.
All right. Well, you guys take care.
Thanks,
and I'll
Troy.
Let you know when I'm free to hang out every day.
Thanks, Troy. Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
319-366-1600. Always good to hear from Cajun Troy. We're going to hear from Cal Eldred coming up here in just a couple of moments after we get to Mark and an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. Open at 4 o'clock, and they're online at emilshideaway.com.
As Matt alluded to on the text line, the Cedar Rapids Colonels opened the Midwest League baseball season by winning two of three games at Wisconsin. The Colonels start a six-game set tomorrow night at 6:35 in the season home opener against Beloit. Vlad Guerrero Jr. signed the third largest contract in Major League history last night. The agreement is a 14-year, $500 million deal, an extension with the Toronto Blue Jays. The 26-year-old ranks third behind Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani in largest MLB salaries ever. The 2025 high school football schedules have been released. You can access your favorite teams and the matchups at the State Association website. And finally, I saved the best for last for Isaac. Former national champion A.J. Ferrari announced today on Flow Wrestling he would continue his career at North Carolina. Ferrari finished third last month for Cal State Bakersfield. In the Flow Wrestling appearance, Ferrari teased his choice was first going to be Penn State, then Iowa, and finally, officially, the Tar Heels.
Did you watch it, Isaac?
Yes, I did. It was a very AJ Ferrari style of announcement. That's how I will put it. I will say there's a big name that entered the portal today that Iowa should go after at 197. Rocky Elam entered the portal for Missouri. Yeah. So
Missouri wrestling.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I mean, I think Keegan O'Toole carried a lot of that program for a little while here, but. Yeah, if you're looking for 197 pounders and you're an Iowa fan, that's someone to keep an eye on, I think.
We'll see.
But the AJ Ferrari announcement was very on brand for his personality.
It only took 4 minutes, so
yeah.
That's a little bit down as far as his video technique is concerned. We'll take a break. Come back. Cal Eldred will join us. We'll talk Major League Baseball with Cal when we return after this. You're listening to a Monday edition of the Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
Overnight, we'll see mostly clear skies and chilly conditions as temperatures drop back into the lower 20s. On Tuesday, we'll see mostly sunny skies during the day with a high temperature near 51 degrees. Tuesday night, clouds will begin to move back into the area. Temperatures will fall near 38. On Wednesday, we expect scattered showers during the day. We'll see high temperatures near 60 degrees. On Thursday, a few lingering showers will be possible. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 59 degrees. And that was a check for your Weather First forecast. I'm meteorologist Kason Frericks.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where are you going with that?
Gonna install our new mailbox.
You're forgetting something.
Mailbox post? Shovel? My awesome muscles. What else do I need?
To call 811.
Who's 811?
Iowa One Call. You need to call them to mark the utility lines before you dig.
Oh, no. That's only for big stuff.
It's for any kind of digging.
It's just a little pole.
Okay. Well, let's say you're digging for that little pole and you hit an electric line.
Yeah, that's bad. What if I was just putting in shrubs or something?
Any digging. You gotta call 811.
Oh man, I really wanted to do this today.
Too bad, buddy. You need to call at least 3 days before you're gonna dig so they have time to come mark the utility lines with those little flags.
All right, I'll call. What am I gonna do now?
Looks like the perfect day to clean out the shed.
Great.
April is Safe Digging Month, and Lynn County REC reminds you that disrupting an underground utility line can interrupt service, cause injuries, and cost money to repair. So call 811 before you dig. Working together, it's just another one of the benefits of membership with Lynn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Scott Udash here for your neighborhood Quick Star. No, it's not your classic typical ice cream day out there, but it is going to be very, very soon, maybe even this weekend. So are you ready to sweeten your game? And you can do so with Nature's Touch ice cream from your neighborhood Quick Star. Right now, get 1.5 quarts of Nature's Touch ice cream for $2.99 in assorted varieties. Limit two. And also, it is a Monday, which means roasted whole chicken is on special, hot and ready for any meal or meal prep. It is on special for $6.99. And get in to take advantage of these great offers, including Nature's Touch cream cheese, 8-ounce packages, 99 cents, limit five, and bananas, jumbo onions, or baking potatoes, 29 cents per pound, bulk produce only, and limit 10 pounds. Those great deals and a whole lot more are available right now at your neighborhood Quick Star.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by Bayer.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text BREAK to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text BREAK to 321-321. That's BREAK to 321-321.
Back with you on the Monday edition of the Gym Class at 3:35. Thanks for joining us. Spencer on Sports comes your way next from 4 until 6, right up to pregame for tonight's men's national championship game between the Florida Gators and the Houston Cougars from down in San Antonio, Texas at the Alamo Dome. And it's going to be an earlier start this year. 7:50, I want to say, is the start time. It usually was 8:20. In the past, so keep your kids up a little bit. You don't have to be up quite as long tonight to do that. That's basketball. We talk baseball right now with our friend Cal Elder, the former major leaguer and coach, player, broadcaster, etc. Joins us usually on Tuesdays, but had to push Cal. We thank him for making the move to Monday for this week. Question number one, Cal, and Mark had this query. How many times, can you remember how many times in your career you played in the snow?
Oh man.
They're doing it in Detroit today.
Yeah. I can remember, actually, you guys know, when you play for the University of Iowa, you're going to see snow. So there was a few times there, but I do remember the first chance I got to be an opening day starter was against the Oakland A's, and it was 18 degrees, and there were snow flurries. That is not what you want for opening day.
Milwaukee, right?
You bet.
Oh, man. County Stadium.
So too many times, but that's what you get for playing outside in Milwaukee in April.
Cal, I couldn't wait to talk to a former major league pitcher and former major league pitching coach and a friend about torpedo bats. Now, some say they're going to be banned. Rob Manfred, the commissioner, says they're all good. What do you think?
Well, if you guys know this, and I'm not going to say anything that you guys don't know or have probably said before, but if it helps the dollar signs for Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred's going to be all for it. but I guess my thought is, I know that for people that don't really know about wooden bats, there's different models, different sizes, lengths, weights. And the barrel sizes are different, too. Some hitters like a real narrow handle. Some like a thicker handle and a bigger barrel. My understanding is the barrel is rather large on the bat they call the torpedo bat. And I think that's going to be the argument, that it's large and that it's too large. It's closer when you kind of look at it. It looks like some of the youth aluminum bats that are being used today. But I think I think it's what's going to happen, Mark. I think it's the home runs are going to have to get kind of crazy or somewhat out of hand before they do anything about them. That's my thought.
Mm-hmm. I give the Yankees an A+ for ingenuity on this thing. They are not the first ones to try to kind of come up with a loophole in the rule book, not only in baseball, but in other sports. And so, you know, good by them. And until they say it's illegal, it's not illegal.
Well, you guys know as much swinging and missing as we have seen in baseball over the last few years. Maybe a little larger barrel won't hurt some guys.
It would have helped. It would have helped me. I know that.
Cal, if I'm a Braves fan, should I be concerned knowing that Acuna and Strider are, you know, going to be back, and Atlanta's played a pretty tough schedule? But should I be concerned?
You know, I think when I don't see Max Fried in their rotation, there's a little bit of cause of concern. The dependence on Strider, who's, you know, not that far off of Tommy John surgery and probably is not going to be able to pile up the innings that you'd probably really want that kind of an arm to do, that gives me a little concern. The fact that a lot of their main position players haven't seemed to be able to stay healthy, that gives me cause of concern. But to your point, Mark, when I look at these guys, I mean, they started at San Diego, at L.A. I don't know if you can start any tougher schedule than they had. And it's, you know, it continues to be tough because they've got Philly, and then they're at Tampa Bay and at Toronto and Minnesota and St. Louis yet. So they've got a tough haul here, and they're not at full strength. So you just Tony La Russa always said you know you're probably not gonna win the division in April, but boy, you can sure lose one. And if that 1-8 turns to 2-13 or 2-14, you're in that division, you've dug too big of a hole.
Well, in that division, that's what would scare me if I'm a Braves fan, is the fact that you've got Philadelphia already 7-2. The Mets with signing Soto. Jurickson Profar is out now for, 80 games? That's probably the biggest thing that scares me if I'm an Atlanta Brave fan right now.
No question. Yeah, that suspension of Profar, somebody they brought in that they thought was going to, you know, really help their offense. A guy that's going to get on base, take good at-bats. They've lost him. They've lost him for half the season, and that's a tough one. So it's just one of those things that you can't go out and find a guy that's going to fill his shoes unless you have someone in the minor leagues that you think can. And if you did think you had somebody in the minor leagues, you wouldn't have signed Profar in the first place.
You know, we're only 8, 9, 10 games into the season, Cal, but just a small sample size of a lot of teams right around 500, but some exceeding, some not exceeding the expectations so far. Teams that jump out to you in either spectrum.
One team jumps out to me. It's a team that after we made our predictions, I thought there's a team that two teams. I probably didn't give Philadelphia enough love, honestly, but one team in particular, the San Francisco Giants.
Yep.
They have really good pitching. Their position players are healthy, and I know, you know, you look at what they've done so far, winning 7 in a row, and we talked about the Dodgers. Well, if you look at the rankings, they're in first place, and you know San Francisco, man, they have a knack, and you guys know that to still play well. Bob Melvin will do a good job over there, but as long as they can pitch like they've pitched, and in the past it's been the offense, but so far that hasn't been the case. They've played really well. That's a team that really jumps out to me.
Yeah, poor Colorado, being in that division, playing the Giants, the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Diamondbacks are not bad. They've been a playoff team, recently. And Colorado's got to play a ton of their schedule against those teams.
You look at the power rankings, and all four of those teams are in the top 10 in the power rankings, or at least in the top 12. But I know the Diamondbacks, a lot of us are thinking they're going to make the playoffs. Any one of those four teams, now that you have the Giants playing so well. And that's probably why I didn't give the Giants as much due, was the fact that you look at the other three teams in that division. But Colorado, man, I'm telling you, it's an uphill battle, and it's going to be all year. You're right, Scott. That's a they have a tough division schedule.
Cal, who's going to challenge the Cubs in the National League Central? Is it the Cardinals?
You know, when I look at that, I'm kind of honestly, I'm a little bit amazed that the Brewers are actually, you know, 500 right now. You know, I give them credit for what they've done so far. They didn't have the easiest schedule. They have a decent schedule the rest of April, so if they can hang in there. But they've had so many injuries to their starting pitching. They went out and got Quinn Priester, a former first-round pick from the Pirates, but he was actually with Boston, so they traded one of their top prospects and another pick. And another player to be named later for Quinn Priester to help the rotation. So they're doing what they can. I don't know the Reds have pitched really well. They just cannot score any runs. And so I don't know that I see Cincinnati challenging the Cubs. You do have the Cubs and the Cardinal rivalry, but man, guys, I don't think the Brewers are going to go anywhere. So I really see the Brewers probably and the Cardinals, I see the Brewers just a little bit more of a menace to the Cubs. But if the Cubs keep playing the way they are, even though their April schedule, guys, is really, really tough. But they did have a good road trip to start off.
I still like the Brewers.
Yeah.
I picked them. It's very hard to be a pitcher. I was texting with Cal this weekend, and you came up with the line of the weekend. It is very hard to pitch in PCL ballparks.
No doubt. Scott, if people don't know, I mean, Scott texted me, and he's, you know, that's where the A's are playing. They're playing in a PCL, Pacific Coast League, AAA ballpark, and When you call somebody up and you look down in the PCL and see who do I call up, and you see the inflated ERAs and you're like, wow, and the home runs that are hit, it's a tough league.
Yeah. To the financial portion of the program, as we talk with Cal Eldred here, a two-part question. 2757 asking, do the Blue Jays need to panic? And then 5308 asking, 14-year contracts in baseball are ridiculous. Who's happier today, Vlad Guerrero Jr. or Kyle Tucker? Because Kyle Tucker's next in the on-deck circle to get paid.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I do give Toronto some credit here. Because Vlad Guerrero was at third base. He was playing third base. He was not a good third baseman. They switch him over to first. He's worked really hard to be a decent first baseman. Now, he's been an all-star four times. That's because he can swing the bat. That's just the bottom line. I don't know. I look at this contract, guys, and I see $35 million for 14 straight years. And Toronto is trying to claim we have a whole country that supports the Toronto Blue Jays. They're going to need a country to support them to pay $35 million a year for 14 years because I see his bat speed slowing down well before that. So at some point, you know, that's just a long, long time. So I do agree with the text line person, but I also think you look at that. And they were kind of stuck. They needed to do something that proves they're going to try to win because they so far they haven't been able to go out and get the big name, the Ohtani and some of this starting pitching and that they haven't been able to get. Even though I do like their starting staff, they haven't been able to get that big name player. So they got to keep the one they have and try to add to that.
Cal, I don't know if you saw this, but SpotTrack did a. Posted something about a 2025 average salaries by position. Would it surprise you to know that the highest paid position is not actually a position, and that'd be the designated hitter? Average salary for a designated hitter is $9.5 million, followed by first baseman and starting pitchers.
Yeah, which you know, first baseman, you're thinking they're going to hit home runs. And a and there are it's interesting because we, you know, you guys know there was a league that didn't even have a DH. And so the DH gives guys, a lot of guys that don't have positions, a place to actually perform. And it does surprise me a little bit, but yet it's a big bat. It's usually that guy in the lineup that's hitting four or five or three hole. Sometimes these days it's the Kyle Schwarber leading off for the Phillies, which he's done for the last few years. So this, it's a big position in baseball right now. And, you know, there's a lot of starting pitchers. And even though they're second or third on this list, there's some guys, that, which means since there's such a big group of them, there's a lot of guys making a lot of money pitching five innings in the game of baseball right now.
Yeah, and I don't know whether Ohtani's contract, which a lot of it's deferred, and how he figures in, DH, outfielder, pitcher, I don't know, but DH, number one paying quote unquote position.
Well, I think that was one of the reasons why when we as a player and then as a coach, I was, you know, during that period of time, there was a lot of discussion whether we keep the DH or not. I know we talked about it on this show, you know, whether pitchers should be hitting or not, and people go back and forth, but obviously, you know, that's a position that garners a lot of payroll, and that's part of the reason why the Players Association wanted to keep the designated hitter.
Things I thought I'd never say. Battling in the home run derby would be Aaron Judge going head-to-head with Tommy Edmond. obviously, one is going to keep up this pace. I'm not sure the other one is, but, man, I don't know what Flintstones vitamins that Tommy Edmond has been taking the last year or so, but man, five home runs already for
Harrison Bader not far behind.
No, not really. That's crazy.
Yeah, and we're talking about two former Cardinals, so it's you know, I think part of it, Tommy Edmond is a student of the game, and I know he's not trying to go up and hit home runs. He'd be the first one to tell you that. But the reality is you see the lineup, the offensive lineup that he is in, and you have to pitch to him. And you have to pitch to him in big situations. And he's a smaller, big situation guy. Now, are we going to see home runs all the time? No. But he's going to drive a lot of balls in the gap. He's going to hit a lot of doubles. He's going to drive in a lot of runs in that lineup. And, you know, on the other hand, on the flip side, and I think, Mark, and I don't know if you like this or not, but Harrison Bader swings for the fences most of the time.
He does. Cal, I want to ask you about Iowa baseball. 12-3 in the league right now, and not that it has played the greatest teams in the league. I'm not sure how good the Big Ten is, but nevertheless, the Hawkeyes in contention at the top of the standings. They don't play UCLA this year. Do face Oregon late in the year. But what are your impressions of where Iowa's at right now?
Well, I think the big thing is, and you alluded to it, Mark, is that they need to win those series in the Big Ten that they feel they should win. And so far, that's what they've been doing. And so it's a credit to the kids getting it done, because weekend after weekend and playing in some of this cold weather is not the easiest thing to do. But give them the credit that they're due, and they're winning the games that they need to win. And I'm telling you, during a college season, when you have this momentum, it can be contagious, and they need to keep doing this because it's very short, but there's a lot of games in a short period of time. And if they can maintain this momentum, it's going to put them in a good spot in the Big Ten and nationally with a record to actually be able to get into a regional.
Big three against Nebraska coming up this weekend at Duane Banks Field starting on Friday night. So that's going to be big three games right there. Hey, Cal, appreciate you coming on Monday. We'll talk in a couple of weeks, and we'll see if Tommy Edmond's up to double digits in home runs by then.
You bet, guys. Keep watching, and I know there's basketball on tonight, but there's some pretty good ball games on too.
Yes, there are. All right. Thanks, Cal.
You bet.
3:53, we'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up and have our prediction for tonight when we return.
When someone is kind enough to share their time with us, we better make it worth their while.
They don't want to do the, people call it the game, right?
Patrick Gaides and Terry Adams of Deary Brothers Ford talk about what Here For You means to them.
You don't have to spend a half a day in our dealership to get that good competitive price. We just want to try to deliver that to you up front.
And that makes me feel good. Makes me proud.
Because that's what people want. They want a fair, honest deal.
As far as the statement Here For You, we want to not just say it, but live it.
Find out what it means to you at Deary Ford in Iowa City.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
You've been hacked. Your thoughts race. What did they get? What do they want? What does this mean for my customers? My business? Stop. Call NCS. They will have a local engineer on site at your business within 24 hours to help. If you get hacked, call NCS at 319-247-7223. Save it to your contacts. 319-247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. Their people are the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Back to wrap things up here in the last couple of minutes of the Monday edition of the Gym Class. Tomorrow, our inaugural Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Brian Haas will join us from Lake House Sports and on his way to the Masters. Yes, it is Masters Week. We will talk about that coming up and all things golf tomorrow. So get your golf questions ready to go for Brian. He'll answer those for your swing, etc. coming up tomorrow. Tonight, 6 o'clock, right after Spencer on Sports, which is in the on-deck circle from 4 until 6, it will be the championship game between the Houston Cougars and the Florida Gators tonight. And you've had Houston the whole time, right, Mark?
I did. I penciled them in before the tournament. I wasn't confident going into the Duke game. I don't know how confident I am tonight, but I got to ride with them.
Much like Deal or No Deal, you can switch cases at the end, Mark. So I will allow you to go to Florida.
I'm sticking with Cajun Troy and the Houston Cougars.
Okay.
Because Jim Nance is an alum.
Hello, friends. It was good to see Jim crying. He had to delay his trip to Augusta for a day and a half. Who do you like, Isaac?
I picked Florida before the tournament.
I'm keeping Florida.
I'm sticking with Florida.
Well, I had Duke. That's out. Still don't know how they lost. They did. I like Florida. And I told you before we got started, I think watching these teams now up close down the tournament trail, I think Florida might be the best team. And one of the texters earlier had a very good point that these two are very, very veteran teams.
Mm-hmm.
With Florida and Houston. And, yep, one-and-dones are great. They don't win the championships a lot. And you got two veteran teams going at it. I'm going with Gators tonight.
All right. We'll find out tonight.
All right. We will. 6 o'clock, we'll have the pregame for you from Westwood One coming up this evening. Coming up next, it is Spencer on Sports. Caddy Smack coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to talking golf with you. Enjoy the game. Talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.
Men the Gym Class, 1600 ESPN.
Evan Cohen here. Picking a place to build a life is a lot like selecting a draft pick. Make a decision that will